the Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're in Sligo this evening for Tuesday's action, and it's another mixed card to look forward to over in Ireland. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line is our very own Irish racing guru, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning.
Are you well, sir?
Very well. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Good. They do love a mixed card over in Ireland, don't they?
They do, yeah. I think it'd be quite surprised if they didn't have a meeting with a jumps and flat. I think they probably have more jumps and flat cards than they actually do, like, individual cards.
Do you think so?
Well, I think it's 50-50, isn't it? Through the summer period, you know, most of these tracks in the midweek have got... jumps and flat.
Yeah, it's good though. I like it. I like a good mixed card, actually. A bit of something for everybody. And what are you expecting from Sligo this evening? It's going to be softish ground, isn't it? Plenty of competitive racing going on.
Yeah, Sligo, where it is on the map, traditionally gets cut in the ground. They always seem to be victim of one or two showers gathering in the Atlantic. And... they certainly haven't missed in the last few days, where everywhere else has been basking in sunshine and dry weather. Sligo has managed to cop a bit. It's going to be soft on the flat course and slightly better on the jumps. I quite like the show for the car tonight. Normally I can highlight perhaps one or two that I really fancy, but I'm quite keen on most races. There's not many races I'm looking at thinking, oh God, I'm struggling here. Let's go for that, for the hell of it. I actually... be disappointed if we don't make a decent amount of money here tonight. Particularly my Napa runs, I'd be surprised if that doesn't figure quite prominently.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to find out what your Napa is this evening, Andy. But we're going to start in the first race, which is the 450, and this is an auction race over 7 furlongs. Only 5 of them in the lineup, and the betting this morning is headed by Pearly Earring, who's been nibbled 11-8 into 5-4 as a record. Hilltown Gal is 9-4 second favourite. Hannah's Magic 11-4, and then 12-1. Or bigger prices, the remaining two runners. Do you see it between the front three in the betting, Andy?
Yeah, pretty much so. I think Pearl Earring has to be favourite based on her two runs so far today. I think it was more important that she was contesting Group 3 company last time out, which has afforded her the price that she's in the market. I mean, she weakened quite badly that day at the Corrupt behind Bye-Bye Birdie. She faded, having raced up with the pace from an early stage. Her best run of her career came on soft ground at Limerick on her debut, so conditions tonight shouldn't necessarily detract from her chances. She was run up behind a horse called Bluebell, who's been running quite consistently without winning for the Aidan O'Brien camp, for instance. That horse has finished second to Fly to the Moon at the Curragh, and then finished fourth behind Indy Maharaja at Tipperary next time at the listed race. She's rated in the mid-80s, so that's the kind of level that Pearl Earring's capable of. And you suggest that the other two in the market are probably mid-75s horses, so Pearl Earring probably would have to run below form not to take this race. But, you know, that's not taking it away from the other two horses, who both run well around this track. So, if you like, that tips the balance a little bit towards them as well. Of the two that run here at the track on the 7th of August, I'd slightly prefer Hannah's Magic out of the duo, based on the speed figures produced behind Pixie Follow, in compared to what Hilltown Gal did behind Focused. That was a much better race, that meeting auction that started the car, that was won by Petty Prendergast Charge. And Hannah's Magic came home quite strongly. Actually came home better on the sectional times than Hilltown Gal. So if I was going to offer up any bit of advice here, I'd probably say Hannah's Magic around about 11-4, or even in a match bet, if William Hill put these two together, Hilltown Gal and Hannah's Magic. I'd have Hannah's Magic to beat Hilltown Gal. And that's probably the way I'd play the race. I think the Arthur Moore individual has got a good chance here.
Okay, on to the second race then. This is at 5:20, and this is Division 1 of this particular handicap over 7 furlongs. It's not the strongest of contests, Andy, and this should be a great chance for Fasoni, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be, yeah. I make this a very, very strong bet here tonight. She does get burdened with my nap. I'm not following her over a cliff by any stretch of the imagination. People who are regulars on the podcast will know that I've got a bit of a soft spot for Fasoni. I tipped her when she won here back in mid-June, and she beat the in-form at the time, Three Bells, who arguably was a little bit unlucky, and then vindicated that form by winning next time out at Fairy House. So that form figure is really good, and the speed figure of that race as well was very good on the night. I got this horse of a sounding running to an 80 in my numbers, which is really good. And also, she ran to an 80 last time out at Sligo when, arguably, for me, she should have won or gone very close to winning. It was a race that rather slipped through her fingers, really, because she was given the number one stall on the inside, which is the favourable inside draw here at Sligo, drawn in stall one. Wayne Lorden didn't really make much use of her from the get-go, and he kind of dropped her back towards the rear, which is a cardinal sin, really, here at Sligo, because then you're hostage to fortune. You're hoping that the splits come off the home turn, and it didn't quite materialise for Sony, but she did finish very strongly down the outside to finish an agonising and close-up fourth. She was out the handicap on that occasion. It was a 0-97, and you know, being as she was only rated 65, she was up against a decent standard of opponents as well, and that was a very, very hot race. Now, this is much more of a cup of tea. She's going to be the class horse bullying weaker opposition here around a track that she loves, on soft ground which she loves. Now, Billy Lee's back on her again tonight. I think Billy gets on a little bit better with Timothy Doyle than any other jockey. And hopefully he'll get him in a handy position early on, because if she's anywhere near them coming round that home bend, she knows her way home like no other horse in this race does. And if she gets the runs, the splits at the right time, I think she's going to be too strong for this lot down the lane. She's 7-2 William Hill this morning. I make that a really good bet. If you wanted to back her each way, caught the odds, I think that's probably the safest way to go, because barring miracles, I can't see her not being in the frame here. The danger, well, the one that would have been the danger is Jenny's Lane. It's a horse I've banged on about for a little while. She hasn't run since she finished down the field back in July at Roscommon, but she got a horrendous run through that day and was heavily eased. Now, I don't think this horse is a very well handicapped individual. I think you should keep an eye on Liam Cusack's charge as the season goes on, but unfortunately he's got stall 14 tonight, which makes life very, very difficult from the outside berth. So with that main danger out of the way, if you like, drawing 14, it leaves the way for Vasoni, and she rates my nap tonight in the 5.20.
OK, Vasoni, the nap selection then for Andy, that runs in the second race. We'll move on to the third now. This is at 5.50, and it's Division 2 of this 7 furlong handicap, and this one's a little bit more competitive. We've got Jembat and Bo Satchel, the 4-1 joint favourites as we record this. We can't separate them, Andy. Either of those two on the shortlist?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think Jembat has to go down as one of the most likely winners of this race, even though he doesn't win very often. His win-to-run ratio is quite poor, actually, for a horse of his ability. But his run last time out was so eye-catching at Nace, and I'd probably have to make him the number one choice. I think he would have won the other day. He got a clear run. He certainly was going very strongly at the time when he met a whole host of trouble in running. Wayne Lorden tried to go for a run at the inside. The door was slammed in his face, and by the time he got out, and you know, looked like extricating himself from that pocket, the winners had flown, and I left the feeling that perhaps he might be a winner without a penalty. He certainly won off higher marks than this in the past. He won't mind the ground. Obviously, he's a soft ground winner in that time before. And you go back to that run in mid-July behind the likes of Target Acquired, Takata Blue and Almada, three subsequent winners. You know, his form is there for all to see, but he's not the most reliable of individuals, so I'd probably have to back him or have him in some kind of exotic bet in this race. And I'd also have to have a few quid on a horse called Enter the Red, who has got a chance now going back to Sligo. Hasn't got a particularly good draw, but at least we're getting 16-1 about this individual. That third behind Vasoni on the 18th of June reads quite well. So I like the fact that he's come up the hill here quite well in a strongly run race on soft ground. His last two or three runs have all been over a straight track on firm ground. So, you know, when a horse goes back to and gets his conditions right, then I think sometimes the bookmakers can overlook a horse like this, and I think that's exactly what they've done here. So I'd go for two horses that like soft ground, that have come up this hill before, and with their conditions in their favour, I think Jembat at 4-1, and particularly Enter the Red at 16-1, are two horses to have a little bit of fun with here.
OK, on to the fourth race next. This is at 6.20, and this is a maiden over a mile and a quarter, and the favourite this morning is Thomas Edison, who's bidding to follow in stablemate Ted Veal's footsteps, who won this race last year for Tony Martin and Fran Berry. Whilst he may want a little bit further than this, Andy, is Thomas Edison rightfully favourite here?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's the fact that Tony Martin is running in a race where he won it last year, he obviously has cherry-picked this race and thought, well, this is the perfect contest for a horse like Thomas Edison to get off the mark on the flat. He's more renowned as a hurdler, as we know. And he was trained specifically for the Galway hurdle on his last start. Unfortunately, the ground went absolutely bottomless, and it ruined his chance. Prior to that, he chased home his stable companion, Blackmail, in a decent race down in Belliustown, which was his warm-up race. And it was a race where he did catch the eye. He would want a bit of better surface. There's no denying that. He's probably got a good chance of winning this race. If you gave me a bet in this race, I'd probably go Madame Mo each way, just because I think she's fairly consistent. And that race down in Wexford is beginning to work out well. The race that she's second to, Jeanne van Eyck, who won very easily the other day at Tremor. Also, horses such as Capitol Hill and Stepping Down have also won out that race. And the speed figure of the race was quite good. She'd run quite well the time before down in Ballinrobe as well on a soft surface, so the ground shouldn't be an inconvenience either. It's just at the prices, really, that I prefer her. I'd certainly rather go with Madame Mo each way than I would Pirate Cove, who was sent off an odds-on favourite in a desperate race down in Galway, and the horse finished last, so it's hard to recommend Dermot Wells, Charles, just off the back of that run. John Ox has had such a bad season that Razzia can't be, given any kind of positivity unless the market says otherwise, and the rest of them look an absolute million. So I think there's a quite good betting shape to this race, and that's one of the reasons why I quite like Madame Mo each way at 4-1.
Okay. 6:50 is race 5 on the card, and this is the last race on the flat. It's an apprentice handicap over a mile and a quarter. A lot of people will look for Connor King in these kind of races at the moment. He's in fine form, isn't he? And he's on Idlewild, who ran well at Galway last time, and heads the betting to go a few places better this evening. Who do you like for this 6:50, Andy?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. If Connor King's riding something in a race like this apprentice handicap, he's certainly worth his weight in gold. He's been given a few lessons to the his elder statesman in the weighing room this season. He's had a tremendous season. I think he's 30 winners and counting, and he's just a very skillful, talented young lad. And he's on the back of a horse he's ridden before, Idlewild. He just didn't quite get home last time out at Galway, having raced up with the pace for quite a while. He just got outstayed in the latter stages by another Dermot Well winner, Treasure the Ridge. But back in the field was Dusty Trail, who finished fifth or sixth. And, of course, as we saw the other night at Tremor, he franked the form with a good win at his favourite track. So I think that race is OK at Galway. He handles soft ground. In fact, I think that was his best career run. So, he's going to take a bit of beating here with Connor in the saddle. I think the danger looks like being Sweet Refusal, who also ran at the Galway Festival and bumped into a very well treated horse of Dermot Wells called Jayad Jidan, who went on to win next time out at the Curragh off a mark of 87. So Michael Mulvaney's filly had very, very little chance of beating Jayad Jidan, but she, to be fair to her, she only got beat 3.5 lengths, and for quite a while in that race, she was really putting it up to the short price favourite. It was at a 5-on poke on that night. So I think you've got to give Sweet Refusal plenty of credit. And the fact that that race is on soft ground, and her best other run prior to that behind Todd at Limerick on the 5th of May also came on a soft surface when Lass Incast and Hello Jock were down the field. Do you think Sweet Refusal here is probably the each-way call of the race at 4-1? Again, it's all about the prices here for me. I do think Idlewild is the most likely winner, but Sweet Refusal each way on her beloved soft ground. We know she comes up a hill. I think it's going to be hard for her not to finish in the frame if she runs a race.
Okay, moving on to the 7:20 next, and this is race 6 on the card, and this is the first race over the hurdles this evening. This is the a maiden hurdle, over 2 miles, and the betting this morning suggests that it should be between Strategic Bid and Donati's Comet. Do you agree with that, Andy, or is there something else in the race?
I don't see too many lurkers in this race, Mark, to be honest. I've had a good look at this race this morning. You can make half a case out for the Black Russian, I suppose, each way at 8-1 off the back of that good run behind Notable Graduate at the Galway Festival, and soft ground obviously is not an inconvenience to his claims. The one thing we want here tonight at Sligo to happen, if you fancy Donata's Comet, is for the ground to dry out a little bit. Obviously, they've been racing a little bit wider off the inside here at Sligo on the jumps track, and it might just help this individual, because he probably, all Patrick Martin's individual's best form is all on a quicker surface than this, albeit he did run well here behind Gentleman Duke on yielding ground the last time he shipped up here. That wasn't a bad effort, actually. It was a good race on the numbers, and he's a useful horse, that's Arthur Moore, 5-year-old that won that race, and the pair of them were well clear of the rest. I like the way he travelled through that contest, and he certainly deserves to get a win over hurdles off the back of that run. Of course, he's a multiple national flat race winner and plenty of good runs on the flat as well. His best run last year was behind What You Think at Leopardstown on soft ground. And I just think he's a more classy horse and a more straightforward horse than the favourite here. I'm actually surprised that they're bet this way. Strategic Bid wouldn't be one that I'd want to be touching with a barge pole at 2-1 here. Not sure he's the most resolute of characters, certainly based on the what I've seen of him in his last two or three starts. He's looked like winning and hasn't really put it all in, particularly last time out at Roscommon when he was favourite. You know, he looked as though he wasn't madly in love with the game, to be perfectly honest. I know Ruby Walsh is on tonight, and that'll obviously tip the balance in some punters' favour. But he just wouldn't be for me at the price. I like Donata's comment. He's got a good run round here. And if it continues to dry out, which the forecast says it will tonight, Sligo, I'd sooner take him at 5-2 than I would back the favourite at a short price.
OK. The penultimate race is the 7.50. It's race 7 on the card. And this is the Sligo Champion Handicap Hurdle, which is over 2.5 miles. And the betting this morning is headed by Harang, who's much shorter than the rest of the rivals here. Comes here chasing the hat-trick as well after winning at Worcester and Sutherland over in the UK this week. Two wins in 5 days. And is a previous course and distance winner as well when with Shark Hanlon last year. So Harang likes it round Sligo. He's in good form. Is he the one to beat, Andy?
Well, it depends on the ground, doesn't it, here tonight, Sligo? I think you need to look at the weather and see what the conditions are doing. Because if it does dry out, then Harang's got a better chance than he has on what it is at the morning, obviously yielding and soft in places. He's certainly in fantastic form, Paul Gilligan's charge. He's won his last two starts. I don't know where the form has come from because he'd done absolutely nothing prior to that run at Worcester to suggest he was capable of winning the way he did. He was obviously a 33-1 chance, and I think he surprised connections that night. And he went to Southall in the hands of McCoy under a penalty the other day, and to be fair, he absolutely bolted up. I mean, he was backed again. He got the better of a Phil Kirby-trained individual, which were very strongly fancied, called Burns tonight, and the pair pulled clear. But I actually thought that Harang won with loads in the lock, and McCoy only had to just shake the reins at the horse for him to readily pull clear, suggesting that he's not finished yet. Obviously, Paul Gilligan is looking to strike while the iron's hot, and he's running it at one of his local tracks. Now, Paul Gilligan, down the years, has had a phenomenal record here at Sligo. So, providing the horse is still in good form, I mean, he's been, you know, he's probably been on the ferry and charged around. He's hardly probably had a chance to sleep, this horse. So he's been very industrious in the last week or two. Just whether those exertions have caught up with him. If he didn't want to back the favourite at a short price, just in case the 12-2 and the ground isn't quick enough, then maybe Pocket Full of Pennies could be the one here, who he's posted his best career record here over course and distance 2 starts ago when he was a runner-up behind I Never Knew That, who won very easily on that occasion. But the pair of them pull well clear of the rest. Quick ground last time out at Lestal would have been probably not his cup of tea, but plenty of soft ground form here for Ross O'Sullivan's charge. And 8-1 each way, he'd probably be the one I'd risk a few quid on here against the obvious one, Harang.
OK, and the final race this evening is the 8:20, and we finish with a 2.5 mile maiden hurdle. Who'd you like for the lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with some officer here. Tom Hogan's 6-year-old has run numerous good races in bumpers, and particularly when he won here 2 starts ago, I thought he won very, very convincingly on that occasion. Come up the hill with plenty of panache and strode out majestically to the line to win quite comfortably. And off the back of that, I tipped him last time out in the Galway Festival. It was a very, very red-hot bump. It was actually the last race of the 7-day bonanza at Ballybrit. And he managed to finish third in a very smart race. The time of the race was quite good. But you look at the horses he's up against. Grecian Tiger, for instance, where he was placed in the Grade 1 at the Punchestown Festival for Dermot Weld. He was obviously very strongly fancied on the day, as was Devil's Bridge. Willie Mullins' individual from the Gigging Stand Stud operation. He went into that race 6-5 favourite off the back of 2 very impressive wins. So, as you can see, he was in quite deep, to quote a phrase there, some officer. Now, this is a really weak maiden hurdle. The fact that Pop Murphy, who's 0-9, his second favourite here, tells you all you need to know about this race. So, ability-wise, there's no denying for me that some officer is by an absolute million miles the best horse in this race. He's 5-2 this morning, which I think is an absolute giveaway price. I make him one of the strongest bets on the card here tonight. Obviously, he's got to jump hurdles, but he's got plenty of form in the point-to-point sphere, so it's not as if he hasn't had plenty of practice in operating over obstacles. So I think some officers are going to take all the beating here. He loves the track, and I think he's just got too much class for them.
OK. As always, and Andy, let's have a quick summary of your selections at Sligo before you go.
Yeah, really good night here tonight, Sligo. Hopefully kick off to a good start with Hannah's Magic in the first. My nap of the night by half an hour is this for Sony. If you can get 4-1, 7-2 about this individual this morning, then fill your boots. I can't see that not running a big race for us there in the 5:20. Be devastated if she doesn't go well. I'll stick with Jem Bat very tentatively in the 550, but I'd have to have a little bit of a saver on Into the Red down the bottom, who's got a bad draw, but at least he's a 16-1 shot to offset that slight negative. In the 620, desperately weak race, Thomas Edison, obviously the one to beat, but I'll go with Madame Mo each way at 4-1. I think she should be involved in the finish. I like Sweet Refusal each way against the favourite in the next race, Idlewild obviously representing Connor King, but Sweet Refusal's form on soft ground is there for all to see. In the 720, I'd have to go with Donatus Comet here. I'm surprised this horse is second favourite behind Strategic Bid. In the 750, Harangue definitely the one to beat if the ground dries out. But if it doesn't, then certainly have a few quid each way on the one underneath it, pocket full of pennies each way at 8-1. And in the final race, my next best on the card is Some Officer.
OK, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. And enjoy at Sligo this evening.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.